politics were about to begin. Please. Now, chairperson is away on business, so I will be chairing the meeting today. Do we have any apologies? Please come in.
Councillor Kimmins.
Councillor Martin.
Councillor Kimmins and Councillor Martin. Any other? No.
No other? Okay, we had quite a busy month. I would like to commend our council team implementing play park strategies throughout the region. A lot of new state-of-the-art facilities were opened throughout, so, and a lot of them are due to be finished at the end of March. I would also love to congratulate Kandahka Mooks on becoming an All-Ireland champions. Very well done. It's a brilliant achievement. Also would like to congratulate my party colleague and my friend Liz Kimmins on the birth of gorgeous baby boy Darcy. And I also like to extend congratulations to Councillor David Taylor on the birth of his gorgeous wee son George as well. So we're just moving on because we're conscious of the time. Sure. Any declarations of interest? No. So item number 3, action sheet arising from council meeting held on the 4th of February 2019. And Liam is going to take us through it.
Chairman, all the actions are currently actioned or underway. The issue regard, we're still waiting for the response back from the Department for Infrastructure in regard to the issues around the Strangford Ferry, and all the other actions have been completed. Happy to take any comments, Chairman.
Any comments? No comments. So item number 4, minutes of council meeting held on the 4th of February 2019, and we will go through page by page for accuracy. So page number 1, number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay. Do we have any proposer? Proposer, Councillor Harkey. And seconder?
Councillor Savage.
Okay, moving on to item number 5. Minutes of special council meeting held on the 28th of January 2019, and we will go through this for accuracy as well. Page number 1, 2, and 3. Do we have a proposer? Councillor Burgess and Councillor Harty, second. Okay, now item number 6, minutes of enterprise regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 11th of February 2019, and we will go through for accuracy as well. Number 1, page number 2, page number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11. So do we have a proposal?
Chairperson, just in regards to the accuracy, on the last page in regards to Tallymore Forest Park, the team, and it was in committee, but I think what I'm going to say won't have any impact. In my proposal, I also added that the council go out and seek expressions of interest in a parallel manner, as well as negotiating with the Forestry Service. So just to have that included.
Chair, I can confirm that actually is accurate, so it should be an amendment.
We make an amendment, Chairman.
Okay.
So just for the agreement for accuracy then, Chairman?
Just for accuracy?
Accuracy, yeah. And then we take matters raising here.
Councillor Clark, do we have a second? Councillor Mulgrew? Okay. So any matters arising?
Councillor Kevin.
Councillor Devlin, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Firstly, Chair, I apologise. I wasn't at the last meeting of the ERT committee, which discussed the motion on the artificial beach, which was my motion from some months ago. I was hoping to raise that this evening. I'm not content, Chair, with the current recommendation that is before us. And I see there's a proposal to investigate the possibility of clearing stones in Port and Sand onto Newcastle Beach. Neither of these are workable options. To do so will be completely counterproductive. Sand will be removed and more stones would be returned quite possibly as quick. Can you just put your microphones off, Councillor Riley, and just for a second, please? Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose just to go back again, if clearing up the natural beach for removing stones or important sand were an workable option, I would never have tabled a motion calling for the creation of an artificial beach. Obviously, if we could do something with the natural beach, that would be 100% be my obvious preference. But I've had quite detailed discussions with various coastal erosion experts, ranging from those in dairy marine licensing to a professor in the University of Ulster who specialises in coastal erosion. The only way that Newcastle could attempt to achieve a natural sandy beach again is to deconstruct the promenade. But even at that, there are no guarantees that the sediment dynamics would be restored to what they were before. I'm obviously not proposed that we go in and cut up Newcastle Promenade, because obviously it's been a massive catalyst to the economic regeneration of the town. But do we forever and a day park our desire for a sandy recreation beach in Newcastle, or do we try and think outside the box? I suppose that's my question to people here this evening. As we all know, Dundrum Bay is very sensitive and contentious in terms of regulations and permissions, and rightfully so. So any application by way of a marine licence to remove stones or place sand is very likely to attract significant objections. I think it's also worth pointing out that there is a project just getting off the ground. It's an Interreg programme. It's a MARPAM project which has been coordinated through the Agri-Food and Biosciences Institute here in Northern Ireland, and it's valued at $6.4 million. Now, obviously, there's a number of areas that they're looking at, but Dundrum Bay is one of them. They're going to look at marine conservation, marine research, habitat mapping, modelling, stakeholder engagement, project management. And this programme could well give us the answers to these questions that we are actually looking for, but it's going to take three, at least, years to report back. Now, I do know that an officer from this council will be sitting on that project board, which will be really good. But I don't think we should waste an officer's time asking them to go away and look at the possibility of a marine licence to import sand, when in actual fact, it's not going to work. It's simply not going to. Any coastal erosion expert you speak to, it's just not an option. I do, however, appreciate that the £31,000 is quite a lot of money, and we don't actually have it in the rates estimates at present. Despite the fact that I think it is good value for money, if the weather's good in Newcastle, the footfall and the people that we get through the town is second to none. So I suppose, as an elected rep for the Greater Newcastle area, I want to try and make improvements where I can and support our local tourism product. So tonight what I'm proposing and asking officers to do is to go away and investigate external funding possibilities. As I'm aware, the figure isn't in the rates, as I said, and that officers develop a business case and explore these external funding options to assist with the creation of this beach at one of the two possible sites that were mentioned in the committee report. I suppose before I conclude, one thing during my investigation I did find out was that there's a very successful additional artificial beach in Malta. Now, forgive me for pronouncing this wrong, the Bugaba Perch Beach. It operates during the summer months, has achieved actually a blue flag status, which I think is quite unbelievable that an artificial beach could get a blue flag status. I know that Newcastle will not guarantee the same type of weather that we have in Malta, but I think we need to start developing tourism and seeing what we can do to push this whole thing forward. As we can see from the committee reports that the officers had completed, it's a very detailed document, so I want to thank them for the work that they've done to date in that regard, and hopefully with council support, ask that a funding report be taken back to ERT in advance of the summer season, along with the business case to see if we can develop this any further. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm just going to let councillors in who wants to add something to this or discuss the issue. So, Councillor Andrews, are you on the same issue?
No, it's not. It's a different
issue. Is anybody on the same issue? Councillor Clark, please. Sorry, Councillor Hanna as well. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, I'm going to have the pleasure of letting you late.
That's me, nice. Thanks, Chair. I would pretty much would be in agreement with Councillor Dadlin on this. Newcastle always was a destination, so with a Sammy Beach experience, with the way the beach has changed over the last maybe 20, 30 years, it is not the beach it was the way back. So it was with the amount of sand and everything else that people experienced then. I actually think the Sandy Beach experience needs to return to Newcastle, so it does. I know it's, I think it was 31,000, and I wasn't at that particular meeting. I was in the pits, so I couldn't get out. I was in the pits, I couldn't manoeuvre it out, so I didn't. But to be quite honest with you, Laura, pardon? I was at a pit stop, so I was. But I tell you, Newcastle needs that Sandy Beach experience, so it does. And Laura, I'm very, very happy to say I'm sure the DUP Griffin.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark.
Chairperson, I still agree with my own proposal that I made at the meeting. I understand that beach sediments do move within the bay, and they will continue to move within the bay. It's the same as in Warren Point. We had discussions about Warren Point also. The truth is, there's no appetite for a pop-up beach in Newcastle. And we're not talking about moving stones or moving vegetation. We're talking about beach nourishment. We're talking about taking sand that has drifted back up on a seasonal basis and then install groynes to try to keep the sand from shifting. If you look along the coastline, groynes have almost disappeared right across our coastline, and the reason they were in place was to keep the sediment on our beaches. In regards to the pop-up beach again, as I've mentioned, as you can see in the minute, you know, how are you going to manage that artificial beach? You've stagnant sand. You've also got potential dog bone. You have young infants going to the toilet on the beach, on this pop-up beach. You know, you have a number of issues to consider from a health and safety. Are you going to clean the sand every day? How are you going to keep the sand in the pop-up beach? How are you going to stop it blowing onto the main street in southeasterly winds? A lot of stuff to discuss in regards to, it was mentioned about Malta. Maybe it does work in Malta, but I visited Malta. Malta has very poor beaches. They have no sandy beaches, really. It's just rock. But in regards to Newcastle wants to... or the traders and the local people want to see a sandy beach. They don't want to see a sandy pop-up beach. That's not what people want. And I've been discussing it with you, with Laura, with a number of constituents, and there's not one person said to me that they want to see it. So for me, I think it's a no-brainer that we try to get NIEA to agree with us as a corporate body that we want, and Councillor Hannah talks about the bucket and spade holiday, and about families coming down to experience that pleasure. But part of that pleasure is going into the water. If you've got a pop-up beach up on land, how are you going to have the water experience also? You know, and then in regards to, finally, in regards to antisocial behaviour, you just have to look at the broken glass and issues like that, and glass being in the sand. Who's going to do this work? Because I can hardly get people to clean the beach. I can hardly get staff to clean the beach at present. You know, and I think we have to focus our resources on getting the NAEA to agree with us, but also to put proper resources into managing the beach that we have now. And that's what we need to do. The areas where we have sand, we should encourage more bathers to go to them areas, and we should provide bins so litter is not blown about on the beach. There should be regular cleansing of the beach. There are the issues that the public want. There are the issues that the visitor wants also. And in my opinion, a pop-up beach doesn't do that.
Thank you. Councillor Clark. Councillor Ivey, are you on the same issue?
Yes, sir. Madam Chair, I would actually support both options because they are actually complementary. They are actually complementary. And if you go, you don't have to go to Malta. You can go to Port Rush or Port Stewart, and similar facilities that Councillor Devlin has proposed already exist, and they are immensely successful. And the problem with Councillor Clark's proposal is NIEA will demand so many environmental health impact assessments and statements, it will cost so much money and take so many years that it's a long-term project, whereas Councillor Devlin's proposal is something that could be done relatively quickly and relatively inexpensively. And I would, 31,000 may seem a lot, but I think whenever that would go out to tender, it could actually be done a heck of a lot cheaper. And people that I've been talking to, and especially parents of young kids, think it is an absolutely brilliant idea that would create that facility for Newcastle for whenever kids can't go down. So I wholeheartedly support Councillor Devlin's proposal, and I would like to see it come to fruition. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Mukherjee.
It actually wasn't, but when Willie made the assertion that Warren Point Beach disappeared, all I wanted to do was make the point that it wasn't there in the first place. It's not the same. So I'll defer to another question.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else on the same? Councillor Quinn, please.
I would be very supportive of Councillor Devlin's proposal, because we have already had a proposal to make Newcastle an autism-friendly town. And from a number of people I have spoken to, they would be very much in favour of this type of facility at Pop-Up Beach, because of when they're dealing with young people who suffer from autism, it's too inconvenient to try and get down onto the beach because of all the extra equipment and everything they have to take with them on transport. The word that I am getting back from people is that they want to know how soon this should be put in place.
Thank you. Is there anybody else on the same issue?
Thank you, Chair. I wouldn't really be in favour of Councillor Devlin's proposal here. I mean, I suppose the thing that I keep coming back to really is just, you know, looking at, we have to bear in mind here man's influence on the beach, on the natural environment, and really at the end of the day, all we have done, all these, you know, the effects we've had have driven the sand away. So I still just can't understand just by more and more developments that this will somehow sort of rectify the scenario. I've tried, Councillor Devlin, to work out the practicalities of this, but I think I sort of do fall in the mindset of Councillor Clark on a windy day and getting the sand up the main street, and also just from a practical point of view, is how this will be kept clean, how this will be managed at night, how this will be kept safe, and all the rest of it. I mean, you know, you go to the North Coast and the beaches are cleaned every 12 hours by the tide coming in and out, and just with the pop-up beach that isn't going to be subject to that natural cleansing, and even the beaches up there require grooming by tractors to lift the litter up and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm just, even at this stage, I'm still not convinced of the practicalities of such a pop-up beach. And again, I mean, it would be interesting to hear the science, regarding how it can't, the grounds won't work. But I think as well, and the last point, is whenever I mention the pop-up beach, the general response is we can't keep the steps on the promenade tidy, we can't keep the erosion from the boulders on the prom tidy. So to start again going down this road here without actually putting right some of the issues on the prom, I think is a bit of a folly, to be truthful. Chair, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Enright. Same issue, yes.
Yeah, there's no doubt that artificial beaches have their place, and certainly when you look at the artificial beaches in Paris or in Moscow, you can see the huge numbers of people that they do attract. I'm not sure if Newcastle is the place for it, but I'd need to be guided by local councillors on that. But I would say, being in Newcastle last week, and not for the first time watching the sand blowing up the town, it did strike me that a simple and cheap investment in sand traps and protecting the remaining marram and lyme grasses from human footfall would go a long way to starting the regrowth of the beach in Newcastle. And certainly, I don't think we in council have actually understood what causes the destruction of beaches and the need to protect the natural environment. And we have a couple of examples, certainly in Ballyhornan, where we've managed to recover the sand dunes and protect the beach and bring back a sandy beach where it had almost disappeared. So I think certainly that would need to be looked at as well.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Mulgrew.
Thank you very much, Chair. Obviously, I'm not one of the local councillors, but we don't have much beach in Slave Gullion, so whenever I do want to take my grandchildren to the beach, I do tend to go to Warren Point or Newcastle. And I have to say, I couldn't ever see me wanting to let my three grandchildren into essentially a sand pit. The first thing that would come into my mind would be it's a huge big open toilet for dogs and people at night time that want to mess about, and I just actually think this is the sort of story that we could see ourselves in the front of the page of some of the local press where it's being described as exactly that. I'm not sure how it would be kept clean, and you know, as I say, as a doting granny, I can assure you it's not what I would want my grandchildren playing in. To be perfectly honest, I think we could find more imaginative things to do in the Newcastle area with that money or even further afield.
Thank you. Councillor McAtee, on the same issue or separate?
Councillor Andrews,
Are you on a different issue, yes?
Completely different.
Okay, so we are going to ask Councillor Devlin to clarify her proposal, and it's seconded by Councillor Hanna, and then we are going to get a vote.
Could I just for an opportunity, it just struck me, Chair, just as a matter of interest, I did see one pop-up beach in Cardiff right down the front, extremely successful. Must say, really, really well used in the summertime with families collectively partying, kids and merry-go-rounds going on right on the beach. It was really well done. So, if the council has any information, get in touch with Cardiff City Council, and they'll explain it to you. Because I have to say, it was great.
Okay,
thank you.
Councillor Kinley, on the same issue of the beach. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Kay, can you put your microphone off for a second? Yeah.
Sure. Thank you. Listen, it's more just an observation. I was at that ERT meeting, and I realised that this was an issue of great concern to Councillor Devon, and she wasn't present that day. But I specifically asked the question to the other colleagues who were there, and none of them had too much to say on the issue. So that is why there was no counter proposal coming forward. I'm disappointed now. We spent 20 minutes on this issue here.
Okay.
Well, the point is, Councillor Devon couldn't be at the last meeting. That's quite obvious. Five of her colleagues were in the chamber and could have presented an alternative view as to which was agreed at the meeting. Now, Councillor McAteer is only asked to mention something to Cardiff, but he was at the same ERT meeting that I was at, and that's the first that I've heard of this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So now, Councillor Devlin, can you clarify your proposal?
Just ask her, was it the same meeting it was?
Devlin, can you put your microphone off?
If the manager read the report, then he would understand.
So can you just put your microphone off whenever we're dealing with this issue?
Yes,
and then
but I'm still waiting to get on the
put your microphone on after that, and you will get your turn to speak as well. Thank you very much.
I don't know to see many people.
You can switch it off now. Thank you. All right, okay. We got it. Thank you.
All right, happy to understand.
Got it. Councillor Devlin, please. Oh, that's me. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Councillor Devon, please.
Thank you, Chair. And I appreciate Councillor Timmy's concern about me not being able to attend the ERT committee at the very last minute. And admittedly, yep, I should have briefed my colleagues in advance of me, but I had hoped to be there myself, Councillor Timmy. Just a few points I want to pick up on, Chair. I suppose maybe, obviously, Willie and I are both councillors from Newcastle, but I've certainly been speaking to members of the public and traders who are very interested in an option. Whenever you balance up, can we have a sandy beach or can we not? We can't have a sandy beach. I mean, I've explored this issue at length with, and I don't know how many times I need to say this, with coastal erosion experts. If there was any way at all of us making better the sandy beach in Newcastle, that would be my preference, but that is not an option. And I just begin to sound like a broken record whenever I'm saying that. That was the first point. The second one is, in terms of a marine licence, again, from speaking to people in Derry's marine licensing division, it's highly unlikely that we will get a marine licence to import sand, even from Ballykinder Beach to Newcastle, number one. The management of the beach, I'm not sitting here for 1 second and saying that this is going to be completely easy and that we create this artificial beach with sand on the 1st of July and don't touch it again until the end of the middle of September. It would have to be managed correctly and have to be managed appropriately, which is why I know that this motion does have a lot of implications across departmental issues. But again, do we shy away from that decision or do we say to ourselves, right, okay, let's try and make this work? Because again, we have a beautiful town in Newcastle, we have thriving business, but it's the one thing that's missing is that sandy beach experience that Councillor Hannah had mentioned there as well. So it needs to be managed correctly, which again, I know that from the report that's come forward, that loads of work has been done to date, but much more work needs to be done, which I think would come in the form of the actual business case. So if we're to go back again in terms of the actual recommendation this evening, the recommendation this evening is for officers to go away, look at external funding options, and also bring back that full business case back to this council for decision. So I'm not saying for 1 second that it's all going to sort itself out overnight. I know it's going to be a complex issue, but surely that's our job as councillors and as this council to take the difficult decisions on and say, is there a way that we can make this workable for the betterment of the ratepayer and the tourist that comes to Newcastle? Because we all talk about tourism, our corporate plan, the jewel in the crown, all those things. So let's see if we can do something here that is workable that's going to benefit our tourism product.
Thank you very much, Councillor Devlin. We're now going to vote on your proposal.
Recorded vote.
Okay.
Okay, Chairman, for Councillor Devlin's proposal, do we need to clarify? You want to clarify the proposal, Councillor Devlin? Yeah, just go on, right. Yeah, I repeat it. So that we'll proceed with the creation of an artificial beach and look for funding options for the creation of a beach.
Bring the business case back to the ERT committee.
Look at the funding options and then bring the business case back to the creation of
our... Because I appreciate, Liam, it's complex. It's not something very straightforward. So, you know, to go ahead with that, down that route, I think makes more sense.
Okay. All right. Councillor Andrews... Councillor Bailey, absent. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Carr. Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig. Councillor Curran. Councillor Devlin. Councillor Doran. Councillor Enright. Absent. Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hart. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Harrell. Councillor Highland. Councillor Kimmins absent. Councillor Larkin. Councillor Lockhart. Councillor McCauley. Councillor McAteer.
Or
Councillor McMahon.
Yes.
Councillor McMurray. Councillor McGrew.
Yes.
Councillor Murren absent. Councillor O'Murray.
Yes.
Councillor Quinn.
Or
Councillor Riley. Councillor Rice. Councillor Rowan. Councillor Savage. Councillor Charvin. Councillor Stokes. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tinley. Councillor Traynor. Councillor Walker. 25 for, 12 against.
Okay,
next,
so
next.
Council Andrews.
In that order. Right. Give way to Councillor Andrews first.
It was his turn first, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Chairman, just for clarification, the vote is 25 for Councillor Devlin's proposal, 12 against.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much. I must say the previous contribution is very interesting, and as I say, in the least, we'll move to be a bit closer to Strangford Law, both the Delmont, which is very much a passionate of Delmont Country Park, and I do want to make the inquiries as well as the service and work going to start in Delmont, because we're going to be 6 weeks ahead of Easter, and Easter for a lot of tourist venues and spots is one of the most busiest times of the year, and I'm just wondering, will the resurfacing work in Delmont be carried out and completed well before that before the Easter season kicks in, the tourist season, but also in relation, will there be any update on the consultation that has been commissioned in relation to Delmont, and when will we get results of that consultation? But again, thank you very much.
Sure. The resurfacing works are due to be completed prior to Easter, because we're conscious of how busy the venue would be, so and a contractor has been appointed through the CPD framework. In relation to the consultation, we will be bringing a report back through the ERT committee. It won't be on this month's agenda, but hopefully within the next month to 2 months, we will have the detail on that.
Thank you, Marie. Councillor.
Marie, just on page 4, I think you were to go off and find information requested on the full fibre.
Sure, I think what you're referring to is probably Project Stratum. We have just received some information regarding that, and I will circulate to members as relevant.
That was the LFFN, Local Full Fibre Network.
Yes,
because it was, and you remember what the query was, how deep it reaches into the rural areas.
What that crosses over, as I explained, the committee is with Project Stratum, so we will circulate some detail on that to members.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Chairman, then we need a proposal and seconder for all the other recommendations from the ERT committee, with the exception of the one that we took a vote on, which is ERT 025/2019.
Everybody in agreement? Yes. Okay, now moving on to item number 7, meeting, minutes of Strategy, Policy and Resource Committee meeting held on the 14th of February 2019, and we are going to go page by page for accuracy. So, page number 1, page number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Proposed and seconded for accuracy, please. Proposed by Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Walsh.
Chairman, in relation to item SPR 041/2019, following the meeting, a request was made from the Sinn Féin Party for the legal advice in relation to that item. After a consultation with our legals, that advice has been released with agreement with our barrister today. I sent it out encrypted because, as you will be aware from the note, that it can't be forwarded on, it can't be disclosed or discussed and disseminated publicly.
but the barrister felt that the information into it would be useful to members to understand the rationale for the points made in the paper presented at the SPNR meeting. I have put a copy in your desk. It's numbered. Again, shouldn't be discussed. Also, Nora Lardy from Belfast Legal Services are here. However, Chairman, if we want to discuss the detail of the legal advice, we'll have to go into committee.
Councillor Long, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just in relation to this, obviously following the SPNR meeting, myself on behalf of our group and made a request to the Council for the legal advice and all relevant documents in relation to this proposal. It was denied, and then there again last week I made the same request again to the Council looking for the legal advice and all the relevant documentation. Again, for the second time it was denied. That prompted myself then through legal representation to a pre-action letter to the Council, which was presented to the Council last Friday. And it's the first time that I can remember it having to be done within the Council for our councillors to get the relevant information to allow them to make a proper decision on any item that may be. But anyway, that's what we had to do. So the pre-action letter went in last Friday. Now today we receive the email with the confidential report regarding the Creech Park. Councillors weren't able to open it on their iPads, so the first councillors are actually seeing this documentation is this evening. Obviously councillors are coming here, a lot of them work and others were out doing other things regarding council. They come in here, we also party meetings before the council meetings, so nobody has any proper time to look at these documents, to consult with them and speak in relation to or as a grouping on them or any other grouping for that matter. And I think it's just not acceptable that we're asked now to come in here this evening and to make a decision based on a short conversation that we may have in this council chamber. So I'm proposing that we defer this item to a full council meeting in the weeks ahead, where legal representation is present as well, and that we have that meeting as soon as possible, so that all councillors can have the proper give proper consideration to the important decision that they've made this evening.
Chair, I just
thank you very much, Chair. I have to say, I think there's a lot of frustration about where we find ourselves tonight. You know, the history of this decision has been long and protracted. You know, we as a previous council were led to believe that everything had been done properly, and then we had the Equality Commission further coming in and telling us no, it hadn't been done properly. We had legal advice telling us, yeah, you're good to go, you've done everything right, and then they come in and say, no, you haven't done anything right. And it seems to be even those that are there to guide us haven't been entirely clear as to what the process is. But from speaking to people in the community, we as a council have just gone through a play strategy, and this has actually set a little bit of fear amongst some of our communities. And you know, they were asking, is this what we're doing with all our play parks? Are all our play parks going to go through the D1 process? And I'm saying, well, no, there's absolutely no indication of that. And they're saying, well, why is this park being singled out to go through the D1 process? There are also people talking about the consultation. You know, it seems to be that there are people, the impression that people are being given is that people want to go through the process and then talk to the community afterwards. And I think the whole thing has been handled extremely badly. I am not sure what people's own personal agendas were for handling it in the way that it was handled. But certainly there are a lot of people that don't have any great faith in those, as I say, that have guided us thus far. And for us to come in as elected reps and to be handed this piece of paper, you know, for it to be sent to us on our minutes, on our iPads, and we couldn't even open it, I mean, it has started to look quite farcical. And people are wondering, is somebody trying to pull the wool over our eyes? Is the advice we get today, is it going to be the same as the advice we get in 6 months' time? Because it has changed, and it has changed repeatedly. But certainly, you know, people are concerned about what is happening with their play parks. Are we going to be selling them off on them? And why, in fact, this one is different.
Chair,
Yes, sir. So I agree that handing out information is not on the beginning of the meeting is not the way to do things. But it's not the first time we as councillors have had to deal with that, so I think we should all sort of take it for what it is. It's there, and we should all digest it and take it on board. But sir, back in October, when the democratic decision was made to seek expressions of interest in Macrease Park through the D1 process, so as to ensure that potentially viable projects came forward, the SDLP group made its position crystal clear that no decision on the future of the site would be taken without the full consultation of the people of the area. This matter is a matter of record, as for the recordings of the October's full council meeting. A fully informed consultation, and I repeat, a fully informed consultation, which we as a party have always called for, is the prudent thing to do, as it will provide the local community with real, viable and funded options on which the community will have the final say. We repeated this commitment in assuring that this would be recorded as council policy at February's SPNR meeting when a vote was taken, and for a party that was anxious to look for consultation, they abstained whenever a consultation was offered. A commitment that the SDLP made on that night, we will not renege on, and regardless of what political grandstanding is happening in the mouth of an election, as an elected representative for the area, and I speak to the people of Ballybutt and Barcroft on a daily basis, and my focus is on delivery on the issues important to them and ensuring that they have the final say in attracting a project to a site, the site that we're talking about, that meets their needs for the future and future generations in the area, Chair. And I would be proposing that we go as per the recommendations of the SPNR meeting held in February.
Madam Chair, I'm just a bit concerned about the degree of emphasis that the Sinn Féin Party is putting on it. Because if you read through it, basically what this is legal advice to senior...
Chairman, just to say, Councillor Reddy, you're going to start discussing legal advice. We need to go into committee, so you can't...
We're not in committee.
We're in public comment.
Well, Chairman, I propose we'll go into committee so we can discuss it.
I'll second that. You only can go into committee to discuss legal advice. So we can deal with the legal advice when we go into committee, Chairman. So it's only to deal with the legal advice.
I propose so, Chairman.
I'll second
that. Madam Chair.
Okay. ESCO now we're discussing Councillor Wan's proposition to get a special council meeting with one item agenda.
Right, no.
And if you want to discuss any legal issues, we have to go into the committee.
And that's
but for now, we have to go and get other councillors that want to speak on the issue.
No, Chairman, we can go and discuss the legal advice when we come back.
Chairman, I withdraw my proposal. I will not comment on this report, okay? Sorry.
The legal advice. What move is going to
Chairperson, we have a council meeting on Wednesday evening concerning ARC 21 contracts, which presumably will be mostly in committee. Couldn't this item be picked up there?
Chair, thank you very much. Here we are again. Part, but first I would like to second Councillor Savage's proposal. I thought consultations was done in relation to play parks. When we instructed Playboard to do a play park strategy for us and go away and consult with the public right across the whole of Uri Mourne and Down, they come back with their findings. So they did. Number of play parks were to be enhanced. There was a scoring matrix, and if you didn't meet that matrix, you would be getting decommissioned. If you did, the possibility that you would get an upgrade, or maybe the odd new play park within the area. That was all carried out. That was democratically voted on in this council. Now, there's things in this council that I don't like and has been voted on, but I have to accept it because the democratic vote of council was taken. Now, all we're doing here is, to be honest, we're grandstanding because there's an election 8 weeks away. Now, my belief is that this consultation was fully carried through, and Councillor Savage is right. At committee level, we have agreed that when we go out for the D1 process and it comes back and there is expressions of interest, that we will consult again. So the people of that area will have another chance to be consulted in relation to the findings of the D1 process. So I would second Councillor Savage's proposal that we carry on with this.
Who's on? Myself? Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks to Councillor Hyland for letting me in there. I think we should accept the recommendation as it stands from the committee. I am concerned about the reasoning for challenging this and that the motives aren't genuine. You know, I think it's been clear that we would consult with the community, you know, whenever this this process was completed, and I feel what we're seeing here tonight is another attempt to try and delay and frustrate that process to put it further down the line, and I don't think that's for the benefit of anybody within the council or indeed the local community. I think we've been clear through the place strategy and from various committee meetings that have taken place since then about where we are with this issue and where we need to go. So I am concerned about where we are and the suggestion about another special council meeting. I don't think it's necessary. I think it's very clear from the recommendation where we go, and as such my party will be accepting that recommendation, as well as it appears other parties.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm just looking for some information. Nothing on that SPNR committee since its inception. Was there, this is from your own information, was there ever a formal proposal at any time to carry out a full consultation process, community consultation process, on this particular issue? And maybe Doreen, if I answer that one, maybe.
Chairman, the recommendation is that we carry out a consultation to confirm categories of council, a further consultation will take place with the community if any expressions of interest are received under the D1 process and before any further decision is made about whether to continue with disposal or not. So if the minutes are endorsed, or that recommendation is endorsed, it says full consultation will be carried out when the D1 process is completed and for expressions of interest have been received. The consultation, I suppose that they're two separate items. The consultation was carried out as part of the play strategy, which again has looked at the future for both the play park at Barcroft and the play park, McCreesh Park, play park, and then the new site at Luanda. So that there had been taken forward. So there was consultation in that regard. This refers to the disposal of the lands as known as Mim McCreesh Park. No, that will be carried out if the council endorsed this decision tonight. That will say that the council will carry out the consultation when the D1 process has been finished and expressions of interest are received.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And just on Councillor Casey's point, the SDLP group, and as Councillor Savage, I was going to come in and second it, and appreciate Billy has done so, but I just want to lend me support as well. Back in October and September, through the committee meetings, full council in October, we made it abundantly clear, crystal clear, as Michael had said, that it, following the D1 process, that we would be calling to go out full consultation. I do recall that I even stated further than that, that not only do we go out full consultation with the community, with all viable options and real options, that we explore through every avenue open to us via the DEA, NERI DEA, and all the committees as well. So leave no stone unturned in going out to consult with the community on this. As Councillor Casey has said, was there a formal proposal put forward? And no, when I stated at that meeting, I was only too happy to propose the paper that had come up at the last SPNR meeting, because it is exactly what we've been saying for 6 months, what we would do. And I appreciated that on the benches across from us,
that some councillors didn't take much value in the thrust of what we were saying. So I was only too happy to put our name to it as a party and say we will fully carry out the wishes of our party and say that there will be a full consultation. But the people will decide with viable options. Now, when that proposal paper did come, because the Sinn Féin group, and Charlie has stated there, they're sort of hanging everything on this was never put in writing. When it was put in writing and put to the people, Sinn Féin abstained. So Sinn Féin are calling for a consultation, full consultation with the community. When it's tabled and I propose it, they abstained. So that just goes to show what's happening here. And I think, you know, in the amount, as some councillors said, in the amount of election, you know, you'd swear some of the councillors in this room weren't here for the whole process. We all sat through the pay process. We all sat through the consultation that Councillor Walker's talking about. We were all fully aware of the route that we were going down here. And to suggest and throw out statements like, it seems the wool has been pulled over our eyes, is totally disingenuous. Totally disingenuous. If people didn't understand what was going on, they needed to wake up and give themselves a shake. Because we had meeting after meeting after meeting on it. Now, we have stood like, with our word, and at the last SPNR meeting, we have put it in writing that at the end of this process, there will be a full consultation. And I cannot for the life of me understand why the party that was calling for that has now abstained on it.
Yeah, just picking up on something that Councillor Byrne picked up in relation to what Councillor McGrew said, just out of a concern that the terminology used about elected members having the wool pulled over their eyes in this process. Now, I'm not sure whether she's referring to either our council officers or our legal advisors, but just from my own point of view, I would like to disassociate myself and our group from those remarks, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've sort of made our position clear over the path, and you know, we don't need another council meeting with which to sort of articulate and re-articulate the position. I think without going into it, you know, and reading this, it clarifies really what our position has been as a body council, and I'm quite happy as a, you know, as alliance to fall in and support the motion or the proposal as made. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just heard a lot spoken there about Playboard and I and their part in this whole play strategy. Was it Playboard and I, just for clarity, was it Playboard and I that proposed that McCreesh Park went into the D1 process?
No, Playboard's only role was in regard to the play strategy. It was the council decision to put it into the D1 process.
Sure. Can I just make one comment? There's been a lot of talk here tonight about consultation, and I was at a consultation on McCreesh Park, which was held maybe 2 years ago or more in the sports centre in Uri, the new sports centre, and there were four people in the public were at that meeting that night. And I think I was the only councillor, might have been another councillor, but just can't remember. And there was about six or seven members of the council staff, including Kerry Morrow, DEA, and Connor also was there. So, I mean, that, in my eyes, and I said it at the time, that was not a proper consultation. If you had only four members of the public there, there's something badly wrong with whoever organised that meeting, whether it was the Playboard and I, or whether it was our council, or whatever. But there's this is a huge matter in Uri, and I know for a fact that there are far, far more people interested in this subject and would have come along to that meeting if they had been told about it. But for whatever reason, they weren't. And as a result of that, you can't really go by a meeting like that where you have only four members of the public at it to make such a vital and important issue for all of us. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, we've heard from the SDLP councillors and DUP councillors the other night about the consultation process and about how it was always part and parcel of the D1 process. It's quite clear there was never any consultation as part of that there. None whatsoever. And it was made quite clear to us at the SPNR meeting that was the case. Let's face it, the only reason the item was before us last SPNR committee meeting was because a member of the public
took a case against the council in relation to McCreesh Park. That is why we were dealing with a consultation. It's only because of that there that the consultation was put on the table. So anybody to say that the consultation was part of some way back months ago, they're just talking utter lies. It never was part of it. There was no consultation. There was no consultation. Never was consultation. That's no fair enough. It seems that I had a raw nerve there.
Yeah, Chugger, just for the avoidance of any doubt, can we clarify that the public consultation on the play parks that Councillor Hyland referred to was carried out in the normal and normal legal fashion, in line with all the other consultations that we carried out with the play parks?
Yes.
So, don't worry the confusion.
Did Jay Park and I propose the closure of Raymond McCreesh Park or the sale of Raymond McCreesh Park?
No, the play board carried the consultation and provided information for the council to make its decision on where the play park for that area should be in line with the play policy.
And did the residents in that their consultation say that they no longer wish to have Raymond McCreesh Park?
That wasn't part of the discussion. No.
It is neither rational or reasonable to proceed with this matter this evening, as we have no time to properly consider the disclosures we've had been given today, and I propose that we defer to a full council meeting to allow us to do that.
Okay, so for Councillor Rowan's proposal to defer to a further council meeting for discussion, Councillor Andrews, Councillor Bailey absent, Councillor Burgess, sorry, Councillor Brown, sorry. Councillor Burgess, Councillor Byrne, Councillor Carr, Councillor Casey, Councillor Clark, Councillor Craig, Councillor Curran, Councillor Devlin, Councillor Dorn, Councillor Curran, Councillor Devlin, Councillor Dorn, Councillor Enright, Councillor Fitzpatrick, Councillor Hannah, Councillor Hart, Councillor Harvey, Councillor Harty, Councillor Harrell, Councillor Highland, Councillor Kimmins, absent, Councillor Larkin, Councillor Lockern, Councillor McCauley, Councillor McAteer, Councillor McMahon, Councillor McMurray, Councillor Mulgrew, Councillor Murnan absent, Councillor O'Murray, Councillor Quinn, Councillor Riley, Councillor Rice, Councillor Rowan, Councillor Savage, Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Stokes, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Tinley, Councillor Trainer, Councillor Walker. Fourteen for, 24 against. So the proposal, the recommendations are in the paper, which we need then put to that. If there's no other items in SPNR to go forward on.
Could I propose that we adjourn to give councillors the opportunity to go out and actually look at this information and digest what we have in front of us, considering that we've only had it received today.
Mm-hmm. No.
So just Pastor Lam, maybe clarify your proposal then again.
Anybody can call for the proposal.
Nobody signed it.
You don't have to get a sign.
You don't?
No. Just takes one person to call.
I'm in your name, so.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I propose that we adjourn the meeting to give councillors the opportunity to discuss the documents that they have received today.
Wait a second, that's your happy enough, yeah.
Do this for a recorded vote then? Okay. Yeah. But is everybody in agreement? Because those objections, everybody's agreed.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Chair. I actually think we're not taking this seriously. This is a legal document, and you know the people here have a responsibility to make sure that it is given due consideration. I'm sure we have legal advice here. You know, people would seem to think they'd spend a lot more rushing their damn teeth than they would consulting a legal document, and I certainly wouldn't be able to make a decision on anything unless I give it due consideration and have an opportunity to read it, think about it, and discuss it.
Chair, can I make a proposal that we adjourn for 30 minutes?
I can't hear you, sir.
What's up under this one?
Hello.
I mean, just to remind you that the document you've got is legally privileged.
Sure, sorry,
if you're
hello.
Taking it to your party room,
what are we adjourning for?
Then you need 40 minutes.
Could I ask, I would like to know the reason why and what difference it's going to make, given that we've made a decision here.
Well, Chairman, it has been provided to you as for your decision-making process. I'm advising you that you shouldn't release it because you can hold it as your own document. The meeting's adjourned for 40 minutes.
Sure,
so we're back
I
here.
A question. I would like an
back
answer.
Here at 10 to 8.
Sure, I asked the question. No, I understand that, but could I ask what the point of the adjournment is, given that we've already taken the decision in respect of the minutes? But well, for what purpose?
Decision.
Sure, I never got an answer to that question.
Good joke.
We are going to clarify some legal advice, so we need to go into the committee. So this item is redeemed to be exempt under paragraph 5 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information is in relation to which a claim to legal professional privilege could be maintained in a legal proceeding. And the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. Thank you.
Proposer, Councillor Curran.
Proposer, Councillor Curran. And a seconder? Councillor Hanna.
Okay.
Counter proposal other than with the recommendations of the committee. Because then you could take all the recommendations together. Because there's no other matters raised in the committee. Just all the recommendations stand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do we have any counter proposals rather than recommendation of the committee as it stands now?
Okay, for all the recommendations.
Any other recommendations?
Yeah. Are you the chair now, are you?
You can turn the mic as well. Is everything on? Councillor Rowan, please.
Sorry, Chairman, just to clarify, the recommendations of the committee are as outstanding. What the council, what the chairperson is doing is the recommendations from the committee. So that's the stand at the moment as one. But looking for any kind of proposals is reasonable in terms of agreeing to all the recommendations. We take a proposal and second the recommendations.
So do we have any counter proposals rather than proposition from the committee?
Okay,
proposal and second for the recommendation. Councillor Savage proposed, Councillor Wolf. Everybody is in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay, then it needs to go to a vote.
Okay, we are voting, put in that
That one recommendation, Councillor Wolf, or on all the recommendations. So we deal with this, we deal with then is SPR 041-2019, and then we deal with all the other recommendations. Page 7, SPR 041-2019. So the proposal was for Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Walker to accept the recommendation in from the committee.
Yes.
Councillor Rowan, as a record a vote? Just a vote? Okay. So all for the recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
All for the recommendation. Against.
All in favour. Against. It's 24 for, none against, and 12 extensions. All the other recommendations. Need the proposer seconded for the rest of the recommendations.
Okay, proposer and a second, therefore. Councillor Savage. The recommendations. Proposed Councillor Savage and second, Councillor Carn.
Councillor Carn. Have you agreement on all the recommendations? Sorry, Henry, wants to get in. Henry wants to get in.
Henry, go ahead.
Chairman, are you on the rest of the report now?
Yes.
Right. I was just wanted to mention the Quarry Square car park. Wanted to know why is.
Sorry, Chairman, that needs to be taken in closed session.
Your children.
It's registered as a closed session. It's a commercial entrance for council. So we need to get a proposal and second to go to committee to deal with
that. I propose that we go to committee to quickly discuss that, Chairman.
Okay, proposition to go in and second to Councillor Hanna.
Okay.
It's still in the SPNR minutes. It's to do with community planning. Just a less controversial note, Chair. I certainly welcome the review of the structures. I think it was towards the end of last year that I requested in council, and I got full support of council for a review of the community plan structures. And I know that occasion was seconded by Councillor Traynor. And really what we felt is that the thematic working groups weren't really working. It was more a tick box exercise. I certainly welcome the way it has been changed to be more focused and have a greater degree of collaboration and to actually look at a fewer strategic points and to try and work with the partners to actually come up with innovative solutions to among the participating partners to come up with solutions. So I certainly welcome that change to thematic working groups, and I look forward to, well, not me personally, but I feel that it will work actually much better going forward. I would ask all councillors to play their full part in it. Yeah.
Okay.
Proposal for Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Walker, to agree the recommendation of the committee. There's no other objections?
No. Okay, all agreed. Moving on to item 8, minutes of Special Audit Committee meeting held on the 15th of February 2019. And we will go through for accuracy. So, page number 1. On page number 2, that's it. Proposed and seconded, please. Councillor Byrne, and seconded by Councillor Brown. Okay. Any matters arising?
No.
Okay. Moving on to item number 9, minutes of Active and Healthy Communities Committee held on the 18th of February 2019, and we will go through it for accuracy as well. Page number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9. Okay. Do we have a proposer and seconder?
Councillor
Loughran. Councillor Loughran proposed. Councillor Walker, second.
Any
matters arising?
Councillor Murray.
Councillor O'Malley, please. Chair, at this meeting, Councillor Sean Doran proposed to hold a fresh public consultation around rural development plan upgraded funded parks in light of a division of opinion on the issue. I was abroad during that meeting. I was on a Department of Education trip to the Basque Country. It was in light, I suppose the decision was made, the previous consultation was part of the rural development programme. During the summer holidays, it was reckoned that only 65 or so people attended. Just using AB Highlands logic, it wasn't reflective of all of the people in Newtown at that time. Many in Newtown believe that they were either on holidays and missed the opportunity on that. Before the rural development programme was rolled out and Newtown was included in it, my plan for the play park in Newtown was to work with the principal of St Michael's Primary School to seek match funding for a large play park on the youth club site, which would cater for all children, including those with special and additional needs, not anything to do with St Michael's CFC. I've spoken with the principal of St Michael's Primary School in the last week, and the vision of an inclusive match funded play park still exists next door to the primary school. This play park, which is now going to come down the line, it's going to be funded by the council. It's going to be part of the council's play strategy. And it's my belief that a new public consultation needs to take place, that the original consultation was for the rural development programme, that under this strategy, a new public consultation should take place. So I'll make that proposal at this meeting.
Okay, second for Councillor Doran. Second. Okay, Councillor Riley, are you on the
scene? Yeah, Madam Chair, it's just on the issue of play parks, and I'm still concerned that Ballymartin is listed for going ahead whenever there's no formal identification of a site.
It's a different matter, different issue.
It's on number 8, community engagement, play park strategy.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, it was just... the Honourable Member here for Ballymartin North and the Honourable Member for Ballymartin South bullied me into supporting Ballymartin play area. And I said at the time that if there's no site, we could lose that. Anna Loan could have been done in the last financial year and Ballymartin done this year. So I'm concerned and I want some reassurance that this is definitely going ahead, because if it's not, I want the money spent on Anna Loan.
Chair, if the members consent, I'll go back in on that. I'll do that tomorrow.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. On the park at Jim Steen, the new town of Hamilton Park, there was a few quotes that was made at the last AHC meeting, but there was also a quote by Councillor Barrow Murray about 5 minutes ago. Barrow talked about division of opinion on the issue. Division of opinion on the issue is not what I see as happening in the first consultation. It was 57% picked a site. Now, we cannot, and Councillor Dorn and talk about ill feeling over a secret vote. I went to that meeting. I sat in the meeting, I spoke to the playboard reps at the start, and I made it very, very clear that I would neither take part in the meeting, I wouldn't influence any of the local people to make a decision. It was their decision and their decision alone. And I wouldn't take part in the voting in order to sway the decision to one park or the other. I think what we need to be very, very careful of, and as councillors, we must remember that we're there and in this chamber in order to speak on behalf of the people. The only way that people can give us an instruction on the play parks is through an independently chaired and organised meeting, which was by Playboard NI. As I said, I sat in the meeting. It was both fair and professional, and everybody in that hall had an opportunity to speak. Now, there were a number of people. I think the very first person that spoke was from the PUL community and spoke about the Jim Steen site, and it was back and forth, and it was everybody was very well respected, and the vote was taken. I mean, to talk over the last couple of months, if there was any issue on the vote, if people feel that there was something untoward about the vote, well, they can bring it up with Playboard NI. I discussed this with Playboard NI, and the voting slips are still in their custody. So the voting slips for everyone that's sitting in that meeting can be got, and if any councillors have any issues over how that consultation took place, they can contact Playboard NI. Any consultation that comes after that, whether it's politically led, cannot hold the same weight as people in an independent, fair consultation outside of councillors' control. And the key thing here is, Barra had stated, my plan for the play park. And that's what I feel the issue is here. I have different visions for certain things I want to see in this district. But when people give a recommendation for something, we are fully obliged to follow through on that recommendation. There's no point in me walking out of a consultation saying, well, I don't agree with that. It is 57% of people in Newtown Hamilton wanted this. Who are we to deny them that? Who are we to frustrate the process and try and go back out to a new consultation? We don't have the right to do that. We must carry through on what the people had asked for. You know, David and I, Councillor Taylor, had agreed at the last meeting to look into routes of solving the flooding issue, because the flooding issue had come up and it was identified, and a recommendation was made to the landowner and the land beside it. Councillor Murray had proposed that we look into alternate issues because he felt it was unfair on the landowner. And both me and Dave Taylor supported that. We've absolutely no issue. We don't want to see that the site is unsafe. But what we didn't support is going out to a fresh consultation. There is absolutely no merit for it. There is nothing that has swayed my opinion to say that we should go for a fresh consultation. And I remain adamant that the independent consultation at the start is the fairest consultation that we could have.
Okay,
also, last point, Chair. Also, we as councillors, as I said, me and David Taylor, backed the request. When did it put to look into additional flooding measures? When we sent the councillors or the officials away to look into that request, on behalf of Councillor O'Murray's proposal, to see those same officials bashed through the media for carrying out our instructions as if, you know, that they were going against the will of the people, I mean, it's absolutely disgraceful. We cannot instruct officials to carry out extra work and then run to the papers and bash those officials for carrying out that work. I mean, if that's not trying to frustrate the process, I don't know what is. The people of Newtown have spoke. They have heard their voice in an independent forum, and that must be respected going forward.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, I have to say, I'm becoming very exasperated with this, fed up, to be honest with you. Time and time again, week after week, month after month, we're seeing deliberate attempts to try and delay and frustrate a decision that was taken to locate this play park at Jim Steen Park. A decision that was taken through an open and transparent process with engagement with the local community. The majority of the people decided that it should be at Jim Steen Park, and we as a council have an obligation to follow that through. Any problems or potential problems that have been raised, the council have went out of their way
to try and resolve those issues, and in my opinion have resolved them, because the feedback that I'm getting is, even particularly in terms of flooding issue, that there hasn't been any problems since some of the work that's been carried out. The people that I've been speaking to also have become totally disillusioned with this. They want to play a park in Newton Hamilton. Jimstein Park has been decided as that location, and they want to see this park placed in Jimstein Park as soon as possible. But we see time and time again deliberate attempts to try and frustrate that decision because someone didn't like where the decision was taken to place the play park. And that's unfair on those people that took the time to go and take part in that consultation and decided that they wanted that in the location of Jimstein Park. And I've also mentioned this at previous meetings, that we would create a very dangerous precedent by opening a consultation again in respect of this play park. Because we've all had to go through a process in different areas regarding play areas. And not everybody has been totally content with the decisions that have been made. What would stop them to have to open, to ask for that entitlement to open that process again? Playboard and I, their credibility shouldn't be questioned in this regard. They have done nothing wrong. They carried out a very clear and precise process. And I have total confidence in the work that they have done. And as I say, we as a council have an obligation to follow that through and deliver a play area, a state-of-the-art play area for the people of Newton Hamilton. That's what they deserve, and that should be installed as soon as possible without any further delay.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Quinn.
Thank you. Just a wee bit of information, perhaps it will keep Councillor Riley informed about what's happening in Ballymartin. Councillor and Hannah and myself have been engaging with Conor Haffey about the play park in Ballymartin, and it is working its way through the process under the recommendations of Playboard. So that money will not be being wasted. It goes through the process of the community consultation to identify the site and the value that the play park will hope to attain. But it just takes that wee bit more time. And Councillor Hannah and I, who both are from the village, are very happy to wait on that process.
Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. It's just really in relation to the play park strategy and the update on it and the fact that it's gone through. I'd just like to welcome the fact that play parks, long awaited upgrades for play parks at Carrick Matone and Newtown Clog appear to be on the list for 2019-20. Maybe, Michael, what I'm looking for is, it's been greeted with great expectation among mothers and children in the area in particular. And the question I'm getting is when, and I would be reasonably hopeful that you could deliver both said play parks in advance of the summer holidays, and you could maybe give us a bit of good news to go home with. And not necessarily before anything else, but before the summer holidays would be useful, if you could confirm when you expect those two play parks to be come to fruition. Cheers. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Barra.
Yeah, I made a proposal, and I'm happy to stand with the proposal. Just to clarify a couple of things that were said there, it wasn't 57% of the people in Newtown who spoke, it was 57% of the 65 people who were at the meeting. The question of clearing the land, David, no, this is crucial. This is crucial, David. You said that a recommendation came before the council to ask, or maybe Pete said it, to ask the landowner to clear his land. The only reason I asked for an alternative solution was because the recommendation was, if he didn't clear his land, and some of your colleagues were around this, he was going to be prosecuted. He was going to be prosecuted. So I didn't want anybody in Newtown to be prosecuted over the head of a play park. I know that. So, David, everybody wants a play park. Everybody wants the most fantastic play park they can get for their area. The play park was agreed for Jimstein Park in August. We're now in March. We've missed. Hold on a second. That's all right. You can say that, and Pete can say it. You can say it's my fault that the water runs down the hill. That's not my fault. It's that people within Newtown think it's a secluded area, that it can't be seen from that there's access areas, that there's parking issues, that there's traffic concerns. I didn't make any of this up. These are the concerns of. Pete said it's about the people. You have to come and represent the people. It's not comfortable for me to have to come because I'm hearing on one side the people want it in Jimstein Park. I'm also hearing it from more people, from the vast majority. Look, I wrote down here, from Armagh Brigg to Fane Valley, to the Slate Quarry Road, to Tully Valley Cottages, to Murphy's Crossroads, to Ballymire Cottages, to Market Hill Road. Everyone inside of that has a say on where the play park goes. The people in Gormley want it in the Gormley, and that's fine. I respect that. The people outside in Gormley don't necessarily want it in the Gormley. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not anti anything. I'm only trying to represent as many people as I can.
Okay, thank you. So we have
Councillor Walker and then
Councillor Walker, sure. Go ahead.
Just in relation to it, I agree with Councillor Byrne and Councillor Taylor. This has come up numerous occasions. Now, we took it upon ourselves as a council to bring in consultants, which were Playboard, to do all these parks right across our district. So what we're saying now is that we don't make the decision, whether it was 60-odd at a meeting or 10 at a meeting, people have given their verdict and someone said it was 57% of that 61-62 that has decided to want to go with it there. That should be adhered to. We asked Playboard to do a job. We put our faith in them. I believe they've done an excellent job in relation to it. And we need to stand by the likes of Playboard and that when they do this. But just on a wee light note, I'm just glad that within Rowell, the officers of this council have delivered 3 play parks in Saintfield, Killaloe, and 1 nearly finished in Crossgar. And that's delivering for Councillor Burgess, Councillor Andrews, Councillor Harvey, and myself, so it is. So I just want to thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we have a proposal from Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Doran to go back to consultations on this item. So, all in favour? Ten.
Against?
Chairman, it's
any
abstentions?
Abstentions.
One abstention. So we've got 10 for the proposal, 22 against it, and 1 abstention.
So it's the recommendation of the committee remains the same. Mm-hmm. And then, Chairman, can we take the rest of the recommendations of the committee?
Chair, sure, was there going to be a response to my question?
Chair, we will endeavour to work through the play parks as quickly as we can. I'm quite happy to have a look at our programme and get back to you tomorrow, if that's all right.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a proposal and second for the rest of the recommendations on this committee?
Propose.
Councillor Walker and Councillor Doran.
Everybody in agreement?
Everybody in agreement? Okay, moving on to item number 10, Minutes of Regulatory and Technical Services Committee. And we will go through this for accuracy as well. So, page number 1, page number 2, page number 3, page number 4. Page number 5 and 6 and 7
and
8. Do we have a proposal?
Councillor
Craig. Seconder? Councillor Fitzpatrick. Any matters arising?
Just to remind members that the issue regarding the R21 contracts will be coming to a special meeting on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock here.
Okay, item number 11.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to ask, is it legal for the council to install cameras to monitor areas that have been plagued with flytrap? Is it? Are you allowed to do it?
Mr. Chairman, I have no legal advice here. I need to take legal advice and go back to your council already on that.
Because if it is legal, I have 2 or 3 places where I would like it from.
I know there's something that Roland's currently looking at. I think he's bringing back a paper on fly tipping, so it could be probably something that he'd pick up along with that.
Chairperson, now that
I had that clarified in the previous council. We can do it if we go through the appropriate procedures.
Chairman, since the last council, there's going to be GDPR, which could impact that. So, again, I'll leave the new advice on that.
Okay, moving on. And Councillor Andrews, please.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. In relation to, I know over the past while with a lot of issues with dogfouling in the district and whatever, and efforts being made to combat the problem. I was just wondering on the subject. I know some local authorities would use CCTV and various, for pardon the pun I'm going to use here, hotspots. But I would wonder if that could be complicated, that if there's no areas where dog fouling is very prevalent, that could be resort to CCTV to try to identify those responsible and bring them to book.
It's been dealt in the committee. So, Councillor Barge.
I think Councillor Reddy, there's only chance of me getting that information as well, Chair, because there's a couple of places where they're doing a lot of play tipping where we are. I continue to read it.
Again, I can do that as pretty as part of a committee and Councillor that Councillor Reddy's not on the committee, so that's why.
Okay. Item number 11, correspondence received by the Council.
Chairman, just to run through, the first is the Agri Business Conference, cost of £252 on this Friday on the 8th of March. Take it as noted.
Chair, are we sending any officials to it? Because, I mean, it's the farming industry and agri-food sector that's going to be biggest hit with an audience.
I'm sure we've got an offer. Marie, may have somebody going to it, have you, Marie?
Okay.
One of our officers will go to it, yeah. Chairman, second item is item 12 is then an invitation we came to the chairman from the Royal Society or Royal Institute of Charles Severe's World Built Environment. They've invited him to the World Built Environment Forum Summit. They will cover his delegate fee, but the cost for council will be £1,000 for 3 nights accommodation, a flight to £600. It needs a resolution of council.
Chair, propose no action.
It is. It's on the 13th, 14th of May, so the chairman remains in place until the annual meeting.
Chair, propose no action. Based on the cost for nothing.
Sorry.
Okay,
I think it would be to put us, again, we're trying to get international and bring business, etc., to our area. Think big. Big Albert. I propose the.
Sound be staggered then, Chairman? Councillor.
Seconder, for your proposition.
Yeah.
Councillor O'Reilly.
Okay, we'll be part of the vote, Chairman.
Yes.
Councillor Lyons, Councillor McAdeers is deck negative. So we send the chairperson to the Institute, the Royal Institute of Charles of Ayers Conference. Councillor Wright is saying we've taken this noted. Councillor Lyons.
Yes. Who is in favour, please? Councillor Lyons, for position.
It says that we just noted and don't take any action.
Again.
Any abstentions? One abstention. Two abstentions. 11 for, 20 against, and two abstentions. So, we'll get that agreed, Chairman.
Okay.
The next is correspondence from Lisburn Castlereagh Council regarding. Sorry, it's not on, is it? Sorry, I'm on the agenda here. Sorry, Chairman, then, is the appointment of independent members to the policing board, correspondence from the Secretary of State looking for the Council's view. Great to appoint new members of the policing board, independent members of the policing board. So, do members want to make comments or do want to leave it to your political parties? Okay. Note. Okay. Next item, then, Chairman, is unpacking consultation extending producer responsibility for packaging, deposit, return, and plastic content tax. Again, Chairman, it's in a conference in the Metropolitan Belfast Met. It's free of charge.
Have anybody tried to post to her that anybody interested in going to leave their names in after meeting?
Can you second her for that, Chairman? Second that? Everybody?
Yeah.
On agreement. Okay. And the last piece of correspondence then, Chairman, is public inquiry into ill treatment of patients at Muckamore. It was agreed this motion that following the recent calls that we write to the Secretary of State to step in and authorise an inquiry.
Councillor Andrews.
First of all, thanks very much, Chair. I know we've all been aware of reports that were in the media in recent months about Muckamore Abbey, and I support the thrust of the motion here proposed at Lisburn and Castlereagh about the ill treatment of patients at Muckamore Abbey, and I do support this motion and ask at this point, so do consider and support same, and director in relation to the permanent secretary at the relevant department outlining our support for the Lisburn and Castlereagh City Council motion on Muckamore Abbey. I think it's a very emotive and it's a subject that has stirred a lot of people's hearts, and also I think it's more or less an inquiry would be welcome to sort things out once and for all in relation to Muckamore. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a second of that?
Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chair. No, I'm happy to second that. I do fully agree with all the sentiments of the previous councillor. Patients do come first, and definitely I would like the whole council to be in support of this, but thank you.
Okay.
Everybody in agreement?
Everybody in agreement? Yes. Okay, now notices of motion. The first one is received from Councillor Walker. You can read it out, please.
Sure, thank you very much. And speaking to yourself earlier on the Chief Executive, there's a wee slight amendment, so we'll read the amended version out. So, well, that this Council acknowledges the great work of the Northern Ireland Air Ambulance. This life-saving service has had to be deployed 54 times in the Newry Mourne and Down area during the first 10 months of 2018. And this council recognises the significant public fundraising efforts to keep the Northern Ireland Air Ambulance operational, and that we as a council look at ways to contribute to it through our efficiencies working group. And furthermore, this council writes to the permanent secretary, Richard Pengelly, and the other 10 councils, urging them to financially support the Northern Ireland Air Ambulance. Now, that is the motion that is being slightly amended, and I would just like to say a few words on it, with your indulgence, Chair. Northern Ireland Air Ambulance needs no introduction. This life-saving service works in partnership with the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. Can I at this point commend the great work of the men and women who operate it? And so many lives have been saved in our district because of them. The cost of renting the helicopter relies solely on the goodwill of the general public. Madam Chair, this service needs a sustainable income to ensure it keeps flying. In the first 10 months of 2018, the air ambulance was deployed 54 times in the Newry Mourne and Down area, council area, and from August 17 till November 18, 101 times in the Newry Mourne and Down council area. We were the area where it was most deployed within Northern Ireland, the next council being Castlereagh with 45 deployments. Members, I'm sure you will ask about a precedent this motion will maybe set. Can I say that we on a regular basis support a range of community and not-for-profitable charity organisations. I would however argue that the air ambulance should be supported by government and not have to rely solely on charitable donations. This service should be the same as our police cars, ambulances and fire engines, who are all funded by government. I believe that this is a Stormont issue, and I do acknowledge that Stormont, through the departments, provide funding for medical crews, medicines and equipment. But I believe Stormont should fund the air ambulance also. Unfortunately, Stormont's in limbo at the minute, and that can't happen. Now, I've said earlier that we write to our permanent secretary, Richard Pengelly. I believe we should. I believe that the air ambulance should be funded from central government at Stormont through the Department of Health. So we do. It shouldn't have to rely on charitable status. So we do. Now, I think that we need to show our support here in relation to the air ambulance. So, Madam Chair, I believe this service speaks for itself, and therefore I propose the motion as presented, with the financial element of it referred to our efficiencies working group for discussion. And at the same time, we automatically write to the permanent secretary, Richard Pengelly. Now, I believe if we move it to the efficiencies working group, that we can come up with something. I do understand that we have struck the district rate, so we have for this incoming year, but I believe that through the efficiencies working group, we can hopefully support this. But at the same time, we also need to be putting pressure on the permanent secretary to make sure that funding comes from central government at Stormont and not the people in the street. Because if the funding dries up from the people in the street, it'll be withdrawn, and I think that will be a tragedy. I seen them at first hand in Killay there a number of weeks ago when there was a tragedy and they were called upon. I think because we're in a rural area, that's why we've been using the air ambulance the most, because of the rural area that we're in. So it is. I was talking to some of the councillors from down South Armagh earlier on, and they're saying it takes over an hour, maybe an hour and 30, for an ambulance to ride across McGlen. This air ambulance would be there in 10, 15, 20 minutes, so it could, maybe even quicker. So it would. So I move the motion, and I hope all parties in the chamber can support it.
Okay. Do I have a second, Councillor Andrews?
Thanks so much, Chair. As I say, I second the motion, but we've all heard and we've witnessed the sterling work that the crew of the Northern Ireland Air Ambulance Service have done since its inception. And we've seen it firsthand and learned in the press and the media about the large number of occasions that the air ambulance has been deployed in our districts, you know, especially in recent times in Killay and my own constituency, and more so around the Mourne Mountains and other areas. But you know, I must say the quick, rapid response of the crew have been a catalyst in saving lives and getting much needed assistance to where it is needed most. I do agree with the sentiments of the motion, at the same time for the question of funding to be referred to our efficiencies working group. And I also emphasise the fact is that central government, which we do not have at the moment, but maybe the permanent secretary of the Department of Health should be reminded of the obligations that central government should be paying towards a much vital service, along with other vital services and our health service, which is stretched to the limit. But as I say, it also we do send a clear message to our fellow councils that we do support such a vital, important service. So, as I say, I second the motion, and as I say, and I've mentioned the fact is that we should emphasise to Richard Pengelly, the permanent secretary of health of the department, that much needed funding should be allocated to the Air Ambulance Service, and also the fact is that that our efficiencies working group at council should look at the various aspects of this motion that's before us tonight. But I do support the motion and its sentiments,
okay,
and appreciate very much the work that they do.
Thank you. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I also would like to support this here and commend Valley and Terry for bringing it forward. I represent the Mourne's DEA, and to be quite honest with the mountains and the rural nature of my DEA and the poor quality of the roads, the air ambulance with the access it can gain and the speed it can get to incidents and the professionalism of the doctors and the medics that do be on this that make a life-changing difference to lots of people, so they do. Billy talked about 101 incidents there. That's potentially 100 lives saved, 100 different outcomes for people, so it makes a massive difference to all who attend, who are supported in this way and getting to hospital quickly. With just for Kirk's sake, the infrastructure, the likes of Terry Hardy's company there up in South Armagh, to go in ambulances and one thing and another, the roads are so poor, so their helicopter can actually move, it's smooth, so it is, there's no jolting about or anything like that there. So, to be quite honest, the outcomes are significantly improved for anybody that's involved in any accidents or any incidents. So, to be quite honest with you, Billy and Terry, thank you for bringing it forward, and I will be most certainly supporting this. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chairperson. And again, Sinn Féin, for supporting the motion. I'd like to thank Billy for bringing the motion forward. This council indeed supported the setting up of their ambulance. I think it was you, Glenn, that brought the motion, if I remember right. I think an air ambulance, the proposal as mentioned, it should be funded by government. You know, we all know about the poor ambulance response times in our district, particularly in rural areas, and for every minute, you know, they're vital, particularly in relation to people with head injuries, you know, which a lot of the responses have been in relation to. And it's a massive support for first responders, you know, in a serious accident. I'm aware of a number in Newcastle where the response saved the lives, and Newcastle Island as well was a response to save the life of a young child. You know, so it does have a big impact on saving lives, and I think we have to bear that in mind. It is a rural area, it's poor road infrastructure, we're continuously saying that, and that the department has to take that into consideration. If they can't provide the ambulance cover, or indeed put in the dual carriageways, the infrastructure, you know, for ambulances to travel on, then there has to be an alternative solution in regards to our ambulance to respond to serious accidents. And these Scotland is a greater support for our ambulance, particularly in the rural areas and the border areas. Just to mention, you know, there's a lot of vital charities out there that do a lot of good work, and that has to be recognised as well. You know, we've got the hospices, health charities, who are very worthy also and do a lot of really, really important work. Dealing with dementia, Alzheimer's, autism, you know, and as I said, cancer, fibromyalgia, suicide prevention, brain injury. You know, you could go into the whole realm of vital charities and vital services out there. So we do have to take that on board. It is a charity, and as I said, it should be paid for by government. They shouldn't be looking to have to fundraise in regards to it. But just to finish, speed is of the essence, as I say, particularly in regards to head injuries. And as I say, a lot of people are alive today by the actions of the ambulance. Okay. Happy to support.
Thank you. Councillor Boring.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just obviously, like the other speakers, I totally support the sentiment of the motion. And I suppose the one thing is that I don't want to get bogged down in, you know, sending something to an efficiency working group. I think every council has said this, it should be funded by central government. And Councillor Walker said, because, you know, the absence of Stormont, it's nearly the council stepping in. You know, if we get into an efficiencies working group in order to see where we can sort of send some money, I think, you know, we're giving a false hope out to people there, because in the efficiencies working group, as we all know, I know the rates process is over, that we have an increase in wage bill. We, you know, with the straightening out of the pay spine and everything, we have costs and a huge capital program of 100 million. And to realistically expect, and as much as this might sound harsh, to realistically expect the council to come in and step up to the plate in, you know, ambulance service, air ambulance, and so on and so forth, I mean, it's a big ask. And I think we're going to get into the efficiencies working group, as much as I completely agree with the sentiment of the motion, and we're end up going to talk around in circles, and, you know, the rural council is going to say, well, listen, I think the first responders should be funded, and we've been calling that for that for years across party, for the first responders to be funded, or the ambulance service to be funded across Midland, or at St. Armagh. And I really think, you know, if there's no realistic chance of securing funding,
it's very, very hard even to get the directorates down at 2% in the efficiencies working group. I don't think we should be giving a false message to the public there. And I think, you know, most of the weight should be putting on lobbying with Richard Bengelli. But I don't think we should be hanging our hat on to try and scrape together some efficiencies working group in order to fund what should be funded by central government. But totally, totally agree with the sentiment of the motion, but I think we should be careful in what we're proposing here.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thank you. We as a party are happy to support the motion also. I'm not going to pretend we didn't have some concerns. Again, and Councillor Walker has relayed about the fact that it's present and started because there is charities, for instance, such as the hospice and others that have been mentioned that, you know, are equally as worthy of support. But I think, as has been mentioned, the sentiment is there, and it is a vital service, and it has saved lives across this province. And anything that we can do as a council to offer support to that service, we should do that. But again, and it has been mentioned by every speaker, the emphasis should be with the Department of Health on this. Despite the fact we don't have a devolved government, and we're in sorry state that we don't have that, that shouldn't mean that they should be able to abdicate any responsibility for this service. They should be providing it, because it does provide, you know, it does save lives, particularly in areas like South Armagh and rural areas that a normal ambulance would take quite a bit of time to get arrived to. So we are more than happy to support the motion. We should have a discussion about it to see what support we can offer to the charity. But again, the emphasis should be on the Department of Health in this in the long run to support this service.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess.
Yes, Chair, I also would like to put my support behind the air ambulance. It's a very important thing, especially for the agricultural community, especially where there's a lot of accidents take place in fields and one thing or another where ambulance can't even get to. So it is a very, very important part. And the Ulster Farmers Union actually recognised that years ago, and they've always supported. And even last year, they managed to raise £200,000. And maybe in Councillor Walker's thanks there to the communities, maybe he should also add into his motion there that the thanks to Ulster goes to the Ulster Farmers Union and raising quite a considerable sum of money last year. Councillor Walker, would you take that on board, please? Thank you.
All right, Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, I'll be brief, Chair, just to again extend the support of the motion. And again, someone who's involved in outdoor pursuits, I know a number of people have been rescued by the air ambulance and helicopters, and just what a vital life-saving role that my own wife is one of them, actually. So, very close to home, so we have the support.
Thank you, Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I would endorse all the comments we heard tonight about the air ambulance. Maybe just to put on record, I do think that Air Ambulance is one of our chairman's chosen charities this year, and it would be nice to just recognise that our chair is this year supporting it the best that he can. So, thanks very much.
Councillor Quinn.
Yes, I would like to be associated with all the previous comments. I think the Air Ambulance is an invaluable service, both for the people who are here recreationally using our mountains, but also to back up our existing emergency services, like to the Coast Guard and that, allowing coastal rescues and rescues from sometimes out at sea from fishing boats, where people can take seriously ill very quickly, and we need that quick response. So I'd love to be associated with all these comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Walker, we'll let you sum it up.
Chair, thank you very much. I want to thank every councillor in the chamber tonight and every party that has supported it. And Councillor Burgess, I will take on board. I commend anybody that goes out there and fundraises for the Air Ambulance or any charity for that matter. So I will take it on board. And that, and as I said during the presentation of it, this needs to be funded by Stormont, so it does. Whether they're up and running or not up there, whether they're sitting or not, I believe that the Permanent Secretary has the power to say that we're going to fund this. As I've said, ambulances funded, police cars are funded, you've got fire engines funded and that. Why not fund the Air Ambulance that has saved, I would say, out of maybe them 101, maybe 95 lives in Newry Moore and Down. So I do want the emphasis to be put on the Permanent Secretary, and I do hope that Council does send a very strong letter to the permanent secretary. And if we ever do get the assembly up and running, I think we should be leading a delegation maybe to see the permanent secretary and the minister then to see if we're getting this here funded. But I would like to thank you all for supporting this motion tonight.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Walker. Is everybody in agreement? Yeah. Okay. Next item is 15, a notice of motion received from Councillor Brown. So you can read it out.
Great, thanks, Chair. So this motion reads, this Council calls on the Northern Ireland Local Government Officers Superannuation Committee, NILDOSC, for short, to divest the local government pension scheme from any fossil fuel companies within 2 years. This will give NILDOSC ample time to exit the market at the best time, ensuring no adverse impact on the pension fund. NILDOSC currently has millions of pounds invested in the fossil fuel industry. This is not only poor practice from an ethical point of view, given the current climate crisis, but it is also a poor investment in the long term and puts members' pensions at risk. Since 1998, just 100 fossil fuel companies have been the source of more than 70% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions, and they continue to search for even more fossil fuel reserves. This is despite the fact that if we are to meet the terms of the Paris Climate Agreement and keep warming below 2 degrees centigrade, we must start radically reducing our dependence on fossil fuels. Climate change is a global crisis, but we cannot rely on governments and multilateral agreements alone. Tackling climate change also requires local action. That is why I've decided to bring this motion forward tonight, which has the support and input of grassroots campaign groups Friends of the Earth and Fossil Free South Down, part of the larger worldwide fossil free movement. A low full divestment would no doubt require the support of most, if not all, councils in Northern Ireland. I do believe that Newry, Mourne and Down can lead the way in creating the political momentum needed for NILDOSC to divest, clearly demonstrating councils' commitment to tackling climate change. If passed, Newry, Mourne and Down will be the first council in Northern Ireland to lead the way on this issue, joining over 20 councils in the rest of the UK which have either divested or passed motions calling for divestment. There are two main reasons why divestment by public sector bodies at any level is a highly effective strategy. Firstly, it hits fossil fuel companies where it hurts their pockets. Fossil fuel companies are genuinely scared of divestment and the impact that it could have on their profits. Falling profit margins is the best way to encourage them to move their business models away from harmful fossil fuel production. But secondly, divestment is actually a smart financial management strategy. Given the inherent risks faced by the fossil fuel industry from climate change agreements and the strong performance of non-fossil fuel energy companies, members' pensions would probably be better off in the long run by divesting. Indeed, it's estimated that New York City, which has committed to divesting its entire $189 billion pension fund from all fossil fuel companies within 5 years, would have been $15 billion better off if it had divested 10 years ago. NILDOSC will claim that they cannot divest as they have a duty to maximize returns, but continued investment in unethical and risky fossil fuels is a complete abdication of that duty. Many peer-reviewed journals have shown divestment from fossil fuels and reinvestment directly in fossil-free energies has never hurt returns on the stock market over time. In terms of time, 2 years is a somewhat arbitrary figure in the motion, and I am open to persuasion on a slight extension, and perhaps to 5 years, like was adopted in the New York example, if members think that this would be a more reasonable target and would allow for more strategic investment. But the most important thing is that we send a message here tonight to divest. It's time that NILDOSC got on the right side of history, divested from fossil fuels. If not for the clear ecological and ethical reasons, then for the good of its members' pension packages. And I hope all members will support the motion here tonight.
Okay, we need a seconder. Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And on behalf of myself and the party, I would like to second the motion calling on NILDOSC to divest the local government pension scheme from any fossil fuel companies within 2 years, and I would leave it at 2 years. I hear what Patrick says, but to have the effect, I think it should happen sooner rather than later. I attended the National Association of Councillors December meeting when a very detailed presentation was given by Friends of the Earth, and they called on the National Association of Councillors to support their campaign of divestment. The National Association of Councillors have circulated every councillor with a copy of the presentation and briefing documents. The evidence, documentation and outcomes from the Paris Treaty are frightening, to say the least. Friends of the Earth point out that the fossil fuel industry has about 5 times more fossil fuels in its proven reserves than can be used if global warming is to be limited to the 2 degrees Celsius. Despite this, it continues to explore for even more fossil fuels. As a result, we are currently on track to create a world marked by extreme heat waves, declining global food stocks, loss of ecosystems and biodiversity, and life-threatening sea levels rises. Warming beyond 2% C would come with a huge human death toll, render vast areas of the planet uninhabitable, and have serious implications for global peace and security. The business plans of the fossil fuel industry are putting humanity in grave danger. Urgent action is needed to address this. As has been pointed out by Patrick, it also makes economic sense to divest. In my brief contribution at the NAC presentation, I advised that NILGOS should be encouraged to invest in renewable energy sources. Specifically, there are 5 types of renewable or clean energy: biomass, wind, solar, hydro and geothermal. Chair, I believe that the solution to our long-term problems lies in these supplies of energy. So I support the motion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Casey.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I sit on the NAC executive, and we have met with both NILGOS and Friends of the Earth. I met Friends of the Earth just before Christmas there. I know Councillor Terry Andrews is also at that particular meeting. Now, we have no problem in supporting the motion, that's for sure. But if you take the strat line of NILGOS, and they have $7.7 billion, which is the highest, largest pension in the North, pension fund, their strat line is the best return on their investment. So Patrick's idea of actually giving them 5 years wouldn't be unreasonable, I don't think, to allow them to seek other sources or avenues of sources, because they do invest heavily in clean energy, and I think the electric vehicles, wind power, solar power, hydropower, and biomass, not just fossil fuels. We're all agreed that, you know, climate change is a huge thing bearing down the tracks on us in the coming years. So I would suggest that we do the 5 years. We put the other 2 years have it in 5 years. Thanks very much. I really appreciate that. So we have no problem supporting the motion.
Okay.
And by the way, every single councillor is a member of the NAC. You would have got those papers sent to you in your news sheet, both NILGOS response and the Friends of the Earth presentation.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor McMurray. Charlie, can you just switch over your microphone?
Sure. Thank you, Chair. I'll not be terribly long, but no, just want to yet add my voice to support this motion. In many ways, this motion continues along the vein of last month's motion, but actually puts it on in a practical form, and that this is something we can, as a council, actually affect. This isn't some sort of niche project investment. You know, religious institutions, philanthropic organisations, colleges, universities, major municipalities and nation states are actively divesting from fossil fuels, and this motion will hopefully also send a message to generations who follow us, who will have to deal with the environmental and climatic fallout of our decisions, that we are listening. We've recently witnessed the proactive stance taken by some of our young people regarding the desire to ensure the environment is preserved for them. This motion, I believe, is an acknowledgement to them. Many of them quoted that there's 12 years with which to turn this catastrophe around. Yet it doesn't match up with the G7, to divest from fossil fuels by the end of the century. So on the one hand, you have the leaders of 7 biggest economies telling us 100 years to sort it out, while on the other hand, you have young people telling us we've only got a dozen. So I know whose side I'm on in that regard. fossil fuel development is one big action we can take take against climate change. Most of us don't have a coal mine or an oil well in our backyard, but most of us are connected through something to a large pot of money, which has been invested in the fossil fuel industry. Also, it's immediate this action. As a result of development, the fossil fuel has underperformed in the market, and making the investors that are still with it significantly worse off. And the second is that, again, as Councillor Carr touches on, the financial stability of billions of people depends on the economic stability of institutional investment funds. Climate change increasingly poses one of the biggest long-term threats to these investments. So, again, happy to support, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Borges.
Go ahead, Robert. You're froze, as you have. I froze as well, Terry.
Okay, Terry.
I don't know what's wrong, it's like blankety blank here tonight, the way that the system's playing up. Yeah, well, more or less, I just want to welcome the contributions from the previous speakers. There was a good turnout of Newry Moreland down District Council representatives at the Guildhall and up in the Stoke City or Lubn Derry or Derry, whatever you want to call the maiden city. There was a must commend Nilgush for their presentation and Friends of the Earth. Both sides put up convincing arguments, but I think we do recognise the fact is that a lot of climate change and the way the world has just evolved and it's changing, and God knows what things will be like in the next 50 years. I might be here anyhow, but as I would, I do support the thrust of the motion, and I think maybe it's maybe a bit late in the day, but if an opportunity was there or an invitation extent to Friends of the Earth and Nilgush, maybe they could come into our council chamber. And then members present would have a first-hand opportunity of firing questions sat from left, right and centre, and to hear from both sides exactly what they're about. But again, support the motion and its principle, but there's a lot of work to be done, and maybe we should ask ourselves what we can do individually to reduce our carbon footprint in the world.
Thank you. Councillor Burgess.
Yeah, we too, and the Ulster Unionist Party will support this notice of motion. But to my surprise, the councillor is bringing it here. I'm on the jet sets around the world, for I too are on the NAC and listen to the Friends of Earth. And outside coal burning, it was airline fuel was the next biggest burn. So I'm really surprised that I'm bringing it on board. I have been on the plane many times, but I'm not bringing this notice of motion because there's no other way of getting for me to be. But for a man that isn't to be seen many times in his own area, wondering where they are, and he's on the other side of the world. So really, I am quite surprised at that councillor bringing that there. But we'll leave that for another day. But Friends of the Earth did say that at that meeting that air fuel was the next biggest one. Also, when I'm at it, I'm surprised that he's not calling for people to quit buying Chinese product because they're one of the biggest coal burners in the world. And they are, our countries at a disadvantage because we're not using as much coal as we were, and any coal we are using, we're importing it. So really, we need to take a look at what we are doing here and what we are supporting. It's easy to get up there and criticise somebody else and don't do as I say. I think that's attitude. And I think we need to take a real look here at what we're doing. But we support the notice of motion. But think about what you're doing.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Brown, our group has made a decision that we'll not be supporting your motion here tonight. We'd stay informed, so thank you.
Chairperson, my only concern would be that by putting it back to 5 years, where it's a completely unrealistic motion, where you're basically calling for something to be done in a time scale where it will have no effect. Last year, the United Nations told us we had 12 years to change the way in which energy was produced on this planet, or we would reap very severe repercussions. We're now a year later, and we're proposing tonight maybe to phase out investments in fossil fuels after 5 years. This is completely at odds with what we've been told at the United Nations level.
Councillor Riley.
This term is just... Councillor Burgess touched on a very important point that China is actually building 4 new coal-fired power stations every week. The the Germany that was reliant on wind power and solar almost had a national grid collapse, and they're now building a large number of coal-fired power stations. And I just, you know, I can't understand how other countries are upping their use of carbon fuels, while small countries like Ireland and Britain and other European countries are trying to reduce it. You know, unless the big players do it, it's pretty pointless us doing it. But I'll support the motion in any case.
Thank you, Councillor Drainer.
Chair, I don't really want to go over a lot of the points that have already been made, because I think there's a lot of good points that have been made. I think that a couple of people have touched on an issue where maybe in the future this council might have to look at becoming not just the number one tourism destination in Ireland, but also one of the number one councils for being environmentally friendly in Ireland. And that's maybe for another day, but maybe to support what's being said here, especially with the divestment, from an ethical point of view and from certainly an environmental point of view, there's an onus on us to reduce our carbon footprint. There's an onus on us to reduce the amount of energy that we consume and the amount of energy that is being produced via the fossil fuels. There's an onus on us to look at new and emerging renewable energy projects. And there's an onus on many governments around the world to invest more money into research and development for these projects. So I think today this is a very good step in trying to tackle a very important issue that affects all of us. It's an issue that is, as has always been said in whatever report or whatever news article you're reading, it's impending doom. And, you know, this is a very important step. And it is a step, and I can hear what Cadogan was saying, and certainly Councillor Emmett was saying around the idea of the 5 years, and there's a 12-year period that has been stipulated, certainly with the new UN. However, it's many steps. It's taken that idea, it's many steps, many approaches. This isn't just the one approach that you take. You don't just rely on the divestment of fossil fuels. You rely on many other strategies as well. So this is one in a string of strategies that governments should be taking to actually tackle the issue. So again, my party colleagues already said that our party will be supporting it, but just to add that wee bit in for myself. Thank you.
Okay, I don't think there's anybody else. So, Councillor Brown, can you sum it up, please?
Great. Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, everyone, for your comments. And overall, it seems like we've got the support for the motion, and I take on board Councillor Catesby's amendment on 5 years. I do think that is a fair compromise. I would probably prefer 2 years, but I'm willing to take that. I will just point out, Councillor Burgess, in response to some of your comments, we could probably all do better in terms of reducing our carbon footprint. And unfortunately, my job does take me on planes probably more than I would like. I'm sure you've used a car burning fossil fuels at some point this week, and I don't know exactly what sort of farming you do, but I do hope it's not some sort of cattle farming, because that would be a lot worse. Yeah. I mean, we're... you know, ultimately, we're all partially responsible for the climate crisis, but by passing, you know, these sort of motions and sending these sort of messages, we do take a positive step forward. So thank you, everyone, for your support.
Okay, I think we'll have to vote on this because not everybody is in agreement. So can I ask all in favour of the motion? Against? Abstain?
4 abstentions.
Okay.
27 for, none against, and 4 abstentions. Sky, Chairman.
Okay. Item number 18, and this is the notice of motion received from Councillor Enright. I just want to say that it's going to be passed on to Active on Healthy Communities for further discussion, but we'll let you read it out.
Well, I must say, Chairperson, it's the first motion tonight that Council, working across all its departments, could actually affect change for the ratepayer.
Sorry, you need to read out your motion, please.
Okay, this motion relates to the fact that the Housing Executive has a policy for gating lanes, but the rest of the community doesn't. Council notes that its published policy for applications to gate lanes to mitigate antisocial behaviour gives responsibility to the PCSP to coordinate the required interagency action. Council further notes that the PCSP has no procedures to implement this policy, no criteria to respond to such requests, and no budget to implement it. Council notes, therefore, that there is currently no procedure for residents or police to request lane closures in areas that are not in NIHE estates. Council notes that gating these lanes requires permission from the three emergency services, NI Water, Roads, and Housing Executive, and Council where relevant. Any of these may request a standard format key to be used. This is particularly as in Housing Executive estates at the moment. Council directs that the Active and Healthy Directorate to recognise either petitions from 90% of residents or letters from the Housing Executive, Police or Fire Service as the criteria for triggering a formal request for interagency consideration and action via the PCSP. 2. To produce a written procedure for the PCSP to follow in reflecting Council policy. And 3. The Policy and Resources Directorate to provide the PCSP with access to a small annual budget for capital projects to affect this policy and these new procedures.
Thank you very much. We need a seconder. Councillor Brown. Okay, next item is item 18. It's a notice of motion received from Councillor McMurray.
Chair, could I just ask for clarity in relation to the last motion? Where did you say it was going to? The
Active and Healthy Communities.
Active and Healthy Communities.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, Councillor McMurray, you can read out your motion, but it's going to be sent to the same committee, Active and Healthy Communities.
Chair, thank you. This council recognises the multiple health, environmental, social and economic benefits of cycling and commits itself to encouraging cycling within our cycling. These were brought about by attracting and encouraging cycling with and between our towns and through the redesignation of some pathways as well as safer cycle corridors within our towns. Also working with external organisations to encourage recreational participation and especially safety measures such as staying alive at 1.5. It also acknowledges the recent study by the Department of Infrastructure that notes, regardless of being primary or post-primary age or whether they are urban or rural dwellers, the excessively low numbers of children who cycle to school. Council commits to working with external agencies to explore ways in which cycling and other active means of transport can be promoted and increased within our district. Chair, I'm appreciative that you're moving it into the IHC, and that's very that's agreeable. But just wondering, given that it's sort of slightly cross-departmental things, would there be any chance of having representatives from maybe other departments there? I'm not going too much about it, but at the meeting, just to sort of to explore how they could.
Yes, we can do that.
Yep, fine, thank you.
So we need a seconder for this. Councillor Mukatira, second. So moving on to item number 20, notice of motion received from Councillor Stokes. No, it's because we had more correspondence, so it's moved up.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This council notes the concluding observations of the United Nations Committee on the Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Council recognises the valuable contribution that those living with disabilities make to our society and will undertake a peer review on how the Council meets local obligations within the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Chair, actually, on the UN and after our meeting in this in Geneva this week, to update where the state of each nation that have signed up to this, where they're at. Sure, 1 in 5 people in Northern Ireland have a disability, as we know. A number of councils in the north of Ireland have already unanimously endorsed this motion. We as a party believe in dignity, respect and the rights for all disabled people. For too long, disabled people's rights have been systematically eroded as a result of collective societal indifference and in some cases, conscious cruelty. Very little has been done in this country, in this part of the world, Chair, since Section 75 of the Northern Ireland Act 1999 came into being. I haven't spoken to disabled groups, so they've said me nothing has really moved on since that. There's been very little progress. So we cannot, Chair, also, we deal with these issues as councillors day and daily. And I know most councillors lobby very strongly on behalf of individuals within our district with disabilities. We cannot, as parties, colleagues, councillors, relatives and friends, stand for and accept the status quo. I'm going to terminate my remarks here, given the lateness of the hour and how long we've been here. I'm going to cut that short, so I would ask for all councillors to support the motion. Thank you.
Do we have a seconder?
Yes, sir.
Councillor Savage? Are we all in agreement? Okay. So, sum it up. Do you want to sum it up? Or is all right. Okay. Okay, moving on to last item, number 21. Notice of motion received by Councillor Riley and Quinn. Councillor Riley, are you going to...
Yes, thanks very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, it's very, very simple. It's just based on practicality and efficiency. We've been working with Rivers Agency, NAHE, several other agencies to consider moving all of Mourne into one area, which makes sense. In administrative terms, the only problem that we have come across is with the health trust, because they have some contractual obligations to GPs and that. So, but roads is something that really does affect everybody. And at the minute, we have Eastern Division salting into the middle of Kilkeel. But if a councillor rings Eastern Division and says, "Look, would you do the Cardney Road and in the Brackney School or Alley Call Primary School, because there's going to be snow tomorrow?" They can't do that without the okay from an officer in Newry, and they will then take their 10 days and email back. And it's not working. And it would just simplify the thing so much if we were in. And at one of the recent roads meetings, quarterly meetings, the divisional officer did indicate that the council did agree that they would look at it favourably. So, Chairman, it's just very, very simple. Just to make it easier for everybody, and especially the councillors who have to work on these issues every single day. Thank you.
Okay, do we have a seconder for this?
Yes, I would be willing to second this motion. I agree with all that Councillor Riley has had to say about the problems, because we do, as part of living in an area like Stanier and Natural Beauty, we have the mountains, which are affected badly by frost and snow, and no three routes. So, just for the efficient work on our roads, we need to be contacting one office for the entire Mourne's GEA. Also, at times when we are reporting problems, potholes and the likes, it does seem to be that the Southern Division doesn't have the budget or the staff to keep a pace, while the other division does seem to be able to react more quickly. The result is that our roads are deteriorating faster than the repairs and maintenance can be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Quinn. Councillor McCauley?
Yeah, just to say that on behalf of the unionist group, and we're happy enough to support that motion tonight. So I fully understand the frustrations that the fellow Mourne's councillors have, and it's a frustration that has been discussed time and time again over recent years, so I'm happy enough to support it.
Thank you. Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chair. Isn't it a bit like Councillor McCauley? This has been discussed a number of times, this particular issue. We've written to permanent secretaries. We've asked, could this happen? We've been told it can't happen. But Sinn Féin, we're not opposed to the motion in regards to the Mourne's DEA. It is at a disadvantage. It's a disadvantage right across a number of departments. The Health Trust with the Southern and the Southeastern Health Trust, they both roll out different services, different initiatives. With further education, CERC, and we've also SRC, again, delivering different programs and different initiatives. And even policing structures are different, you know, with different inspectors on either side of the mountain. So it's right across the board. The issue is it's not just about getting a pothole filled or getting a street light put on. The way we work on the eastern side, we work closely with the officers on the ground. It's the officers on the ground. I tend not to even go through the section office. I would just talk to the officer, you know, the guy working on the ground, and ask, can we go out and have a look at a number of different issues Some can be resolved, some can't be resolved. That's the way it is. But by moving the southern end into the eastern end, the budget has to come with it. And I'd imagine there'd be resistance in regards to budget and resources coming from the southern end into the eastern end. Because Terry and I'm shouting, it's hard enough without taking more money out of it. So there's no way you'd want this to happen and not get a budget to go with it, because that would absolutely make no sense. You know, so just to be calling for to move over without thinking about resources and officers and where they're going to work, discussions with trade unions, all that sort of stuff would be quite complex, I would imagine. But as I say, I'm not going to stand in the way of it. But I just think we know the answer is going to come back. I think the real issue in regards to this is austerity. Conservative austerity is at the root of all this. Cuts to the budgets, cut to the frontline services, the infrastructure budget, particularly the maintenance budget. That's where the real issue is at the heart of this this problem. Because when the DFI roads officials come here, they say they would love to spend more money on the roads. They have no problem doing that, but they don't have the resources. And that's right at the heart. It's back to Tory austerity.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah.
Chair, the DUP group are more than happy to second this motion. It's pretty much a daily occurrence there that roads issues arise there, and perhaps it would be a better idea, so it would be that we'd be interested in the Eastern Division, and we have absolutely no problem in supporting this motion. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hardy.
Aye, Chair. Certainly, I don't know whether it's going to be a cheer to your problem. I think we're ignoring the elephant in the room. There's a serious issue within the Southern Division. When you look at what happens in the Eastern Division, they were told that the budgets are the same for rural roads and that, and when they're so well looked after in one area and badly neglected in another. I've seen patching that was done in the Cross Midland area where they come out of late, where the tar was cold and they threw it in holes and dribbled the wheel of the lorry over. And I think that we need to tackle that. I think that even for the Moorings area, we need to take on what's happening within from what's been run from the Newry area. There's a serious problem with it. I raised it here with officials at the last team that come in here. And someone needs to look at it. I can't understand why officials didn't take it on or see the fact that if something's been done on the same budget in one area, the same work should be fit to be carried out in the other area, and it's not happening. And I think that's the problem we need to deal with rather than moving areas.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to sum it up, Councillor Ray?
Yeah, just very briefly, Madam Chair, just on what I said about the budget, Simon Richards did explain that if we did move, there's calculations done on the mileage of actual road and the type of road, so that budget would be transferred with it. So, but thanks very much, everyone, for the support, and hopefully it'll work.
Are we all in agreement?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.